your ways are best. Who don't mind overcrowding this nation with a swarm of foreign immigrants. Who don't care about the population. Who don't care if it's foul on our nest. When are you ever gonna read the writing upon the wall? We got crime overtaking our cities. We got gangs taking over our streets. We keep handing out more and more welfare, though it never seems to meet their needs. What kind of culture are we cultivating? One where you never have to pull any weeds. If we don't stop this immigration, this great nation's gonna fall. Let's get a grip on immigration in these great United States. It's high time that we limit their numbers. It's high time that we close up that gate. Now can't you see how we are rapidly becoming another third world fascist state? Let's get a grip on immigration in these great United States. How can we ever come to any solution when all we ever do is debate? We've got to get a tighter grip on our borders. We've got to seriously legislate and quit trying to fan the flame that I'm a racist and quit trying to fabricate that I hate. And get a grip on immigration. Now you know it's not too late. Let's get a grip on immigration in these great United States. It's high time that we limit their numbers. It's high time we start closing that gate and quit trying to fan the flame that I'm a racist and quit trying to fabricate that I hate. And get a grip on immigration in these great United States. Let's get a grip on immigration. Now you know it's not too late. It's high time that we limit their numbers. It's high time that we close up that gate. Can't you see how we are rapidly becoming another third world fascist police state? Let's get a grip on immigration in these great United States. And quit trying to fan the flame that I'm a racist and quit trying to fabricate that I hate. And get a grip on the immigration in these great United States.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to By Yahweh's Design. I'm Pastor Dan, your host for this 90-minute live radio broadcast. Today is the 6th day of December, year 2015, and we've entitled today's program, The Flood. Before we begin, we do dedicate this program to Yahweh, our Heavenly Father, who is the great I Am. We also dedicate this program to His holy remnant, who are the believing sons and daughters of Jacob, who was later named Israel. Today, these people are known as the Caucasian, or the true Israelite peoples of the world. Hallelujah, which means all praise Yahweh in ancient or Paleo Hebrew. To my Welsh kinsmen across the ocean, Shumai, welcome to the program. Couple notes here. If you wish to donate to what we're doing, please go to our website. On the home page, there is a button that will assist you in doing that. And we do appreciate those who have already done that. So thank you very much, and Yahweh bless your hearts. The website is www.byyahwehsdesign.com, and that's all together, no spaces, byyahwehsdesign.com. During the program, if you have a comment or question that you would like to be addressed, please send it to this email address, bydpastordan@yahoo.com. And, of course, that's no spaces, no underlines, just bydpastordan@yahoo.com. I want to say kudos to Andrew and Pastor Eli, who had a wonderful program on just before this one. Discussed a lot of good stuff, and there's a lot going on in this world, ladies and gentlemen. But as we've talked about for, 16 years on this radio show, and Pastor Eli almost that long, the watchmen have been on the wall trying to tell you. We've talked about everything from the lies of the Zionist-controlled press and the government over the years, getting back to basics, learning old skills, what the propaganda was all about. We've covered all that, if you were paying attention. And we also knew that there would come a time when the remnant of our people would awaken in a very short period of time. That's why the elect were told to prepare ahead of time. Yahweh took a small segment of the white race, the true Israelites, and gave them advanced training. And we talked about this, Pastor Eli, myself, and many others, that we should learn as quickly as possible, because we are the ones who our brothers and sisters are going to come to for answers when all hell breaks loose. Well, guess what? That day is here. All hell is breaking loose. They are awakening, and they want answers. Now is the time for those with the training, those who have done the research, to step up to the plate and be the leaders that our Father expects us to be. In unity, I might add. Time to put the backstabbing and the bickering aside. Time to lay the egos to the side and work as a team. Everything in Scripture points to the fact that we should be learning as a team. We should be conducting training, education, organization, and resistance to the Jew world order as a team, not as individuals, but as a team. And that's one reason we pray for our Heavenly Father to come soon to be the monarch that he's going to be. And by the way, let me repeat that, to be the monarch that he's going to be. For all you people out there with your prejudice against monarchies. Even though the Bible lays down the foundation of a monarchy, even though the Israelites for thousands of years lived under beneficial monarchies, all of a sudden today we've become, we're smarter than all those people in the past, aren't we? So we have congresses and parliaments and everything else. To hell with what our ancestors did. To hell with what Yahweh says in Scripture. We know better. Well, that's your Jewish propaganda at work in the press, because in the protocols of the learned elders of Zion, they talked about the fact that one of the very first objectives of the Jew world order would be to destroy the Christian monarchies of Europe. Now, you got to ask yourself, if my enemy considers that one of the highest priorities on his list of devilish things to do, do you think there might be a reason for that? We got to grow up, folks. We got to put away what we think is right based on propaganda and misinformation and get back to the basics. Get back to what our Heavenly Father told us. Now, again, I entitled it The Flood, and we're going to get into that here in just a second. I want to read a verse out of John chapter 10 here. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and I am known by my own. Even as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, I lay down my life for the sheep. Now, these are, of course, the words of Christ. He lays down his life for the sheep. Who are the only people in Scripture ever referred to as sheep? It's only one people, the Israelites, the white Caucasian Israelites. They're the only people ever referred to as sheep. And you got these Judeo-Christians running around thinking the gospel and the history book called the Bible is for everybody on the planet that has two legs and two arms. Just not so. The sheep. He came for the lost sheep, as it says in the New Testament. I came but for the lost sheep of the house, meaning the people, the family of Israel, Jacob, the family of Jacob. Maybe we should start using that as a compound word. Instead of referring to Israel at any time, maybe we should say Jacob Israel so people understand that name Israel is the name of a man. The house of Israel is the house or family or the progeny of a man named Jacob who would rule as or with God. That's exactly what Israel means. Put your thinking caps on now, folks. Israel is a man, not a country. And most certainly the modern nation that goes by it's a lie. That's what they call their nation, Israeli. We call it's a lie because it is a lie. Everything about the Jewish people is a lie from top to bottom. You do any kind of research on your own with an open mind and you will come to the exact same conclusion that all of us other researchers have done over the years. They are a lie from their name of their country to the language they speak to their behavior to the Kol Nidre prayer that allows them to lie under oath. All of it a lie. That's why Christ said they are hypocrites. Beware the leaven of the Pharisees, which is their hypocrisy. Well, you can't be a hypocrite unless you're a liar. That's why he said in John chapter 8, you do the works of your father. You are liars, you are thieves, you are murderers, just as he was. You are responsible for all the innocent blood shed from Abel to Zechariah. Okay? It's all in the word. You know, people say, well, you guys sound like haters and all this other stuff. Well, why? Because we're bringing you the truth that's found in the word. Just because you don't have what it takes to search it out for yourself. Hey, don't be putting names and blames on me and the other leaders and the other watchmen. Sorry, that's your business. That's your fault. Now, I have other verses here that we're going to go into, but let me, I wanted to check something real quick. Let me do something here first. I have to set a few things on the panel and make sure, okay, we're looking good here. We'll get to these verses that will support some of the talking points I had for this morning, and then I want to get into a prayer by Linda in Canada, which was amazing, a response to a notice I had sent out. So Yahweh's people are stepping up to the plate. And as Pastor Eli and Andrew were talking about, we never set about this teaching ministry with the idea that all of our people would awaken at once. We knew this was going to be a struggle, as we often referred to it as winning back our people one Israelite at a time, if it's necessary. And pretty much over the past 16, actually much longer than that, but the radio show has been 16 years, pretty much been that way. One Israelite at a time, occasionally two or three, but it's been a struggle. But it pays rich dividends. Every Israelite that awakens is one more in the camp, and they in turn awaken one or two more, and pretty soon it becomes an exponential curve, and the house of Israel is fully awake. Hallelujah for that day. But one of the reasons I want to talk about the flood, and then we're going to get into some verses talking about that as well, is because of the almost biblical proportion rains that have been hitting South Florida. I have a home there, and many of my friends live down in that area. And it reminded me of the verses talking about the flood being sent in unto the children of the woman. And we're gonna read those verses here in just a minute. But the flood was sent in, and we're going to talk about what Scripture tells us helped prevent that flood from overcoming our people. Much as many prayers went up as the water kept rising and rising in South Florida, and praise Yahweh, there looks to be a clearing as of the moment, though the water is still saturated in the ground, and so there's a general flooding condition. But it reminded me of that very story, that it, when it looks the worst, when the water is right there about ready to do major damage, all of a sudden the rain stops. The flood is coming into the white nations of the world right now. Floods of people. The Bible often refers to other peoples as waters, and when they become over bearing and in great number invading or just entering into, assimilating into, or not assimilating, I should say, invading by sheer number, immigration-wise, refers to them as a flood of waters. And so we want to talk about that here in just a few minutes. Also, current news, current events, Syria and Russia, of course, are major in that area. I'm still waiting for some of the intel that I wanted to confirm before I brought it up on the radio, but things are heating up very, very quickly over there. I did get two reports that, unsubstantiated at this time, but said that Russia was calling up 150,000 troops to be used in their, I guess you would call it punishment, really, of Turkey for what Turkey has done. Acts of war committed by Turkey, who is a NATO nation, by the way, supported by us, of all people. And morally speaking, Russia and her allies have every right to do that. We have been taking a stick and poking it in the eye of the bear for quite some time. And so now Russia is ramping up very quickly, and this is all by design, because the Jews, who have a stranglehold on the other white nations of the world, want this war. The protocols talk about it. Other writings by these New World Order types have always said that they would need three major world wars to accomplish their end. And so that's how come we know that. And we've known that for quite some time. All this other hogwash about the Middle East and fighting terrorism and all that, that's a cover. That's a deception and a cover. They've wanted a war over there for a great number of years, and it's all at the behest of the Antichrist Jews, just as Pastor Eli and Andrew alluded to, and many others. Okay, they are at the center point. They are responsible for all the innocent blood that has been shed. It is their plan for world domination, and they've suckered us into assisting in that end. So all of us have known that this is where they wanted it to go. The only question is whether Russia and China are part of the ruse, or are they just reacting to the stick being poked in their eye enough times? That's the only question I have, and I still don't have enough information to really determine that yet. But morally speaking, they are on the high ground. They have committed no act of war against the others. The people that we are supporting, however, have committed acts of war and aggression against them. Also, I'd like to make a note. Some of the ladies out there got upset from the last broadcast and some broadcasts by other people on Eurofolk Radio that we are somehow disrespecting the lady folks. That's certainly not our goal, and if it is taken that way, I apologize for that. However, the very first By Yahweh's Design program was dedicated to our Heavenly Father and the truth. That was number one. Number two was that this program is dedicated to the Israelite men, not the women and children. And that's not because you're not important. It's because it's our men that have been put upon more than any other group on this planet today. The white man has virtually the entire world against him. Whereas you ladies and children, you've got plenty of people supporting you. Now, they're doing it for the wrong reasons, because they're using you as a weapon against us men. That's why they're empowering you. That's why you're getting a lot of the jobs you're getting. That's why you were given the vote. That's why you were put into government positions. Not because of your talent. I'm sorry. If that offends you, then I'm sorry, but the truth hurts sometimes. I've watched. I've lived. I was a young man when all this feminism and women's rights all started. And I've watched and seen what it has done to industry and to government. And it's not a good thing. Ladies, you were not wired for that. You weren't wired for it. And don't throw at me the 0.00001% that might have some characteristics of us men in those regards. But the beauty of it is that you weren't wired for that for a very special reason. The future of our people is in your hands. Do you know how special and important that job is? You were to nurture the children and raise them up. You're around them almost 24/7, while we men have other things that Yahweh wants us to do. Do you understand just how important that is? You see, when I was a boy, not very many women worked. So I know what it was like to be raised in an environment where the women were dedicated to the raising of the children and keeping the household running and keeping the house clean and organized and fit and proper food prepared for the children and for the man of the house. I grew up in that. So I saw the benefit of it. I also saw what happened over a period of time as the Jew and their propaganda took our women and turned them into our adversaries instead of our helpers, which is exactly why Eve was created in the first place. Please note in Scripture that Adam was created first. There was no Eve. Eve was a secondary thought based on a request by Adam for a helper. The original plan did not include women. Again, I'm not trying to demean or belittle the ladies. God forbid. I'm trying to point out the fact that our Father has a plan. He has a hierarchy. And if we don't follow the plan, which is what the Greek word logos means, your Bible always translates it as the word. It's not just the word, it's also secondary meaning is the plan. There were no Bibles for thousands of years, people, and yet your modern-day preachers and all, you think when it refers to the Word, you hold up your Bible, this is the Word of God. Well, where was the Word thousands of years ago? There were no books that were carried around by the people. There was no thing called the Bible. So what do you think our Father meant when he said that I am the Word? And the Word was with God. Logos was with God. Logos, the plan. His plan from the beginning. Do you see how important it is? If we don't get in line with the plan, folks, we are doomed. As a people, we are doomed. The world is out to get the white man because the Jews have used every single asset they've got to create that situation, because we are the thorn in their side. We are the only impediment to their plan for world domination and to rule the world. That is their plan. They've already set it on paper. Many, many articles written by other Jews describe this plan. They have a flag. They have a capital already picked out, Jerusalem, for the capital of the world. That was the reason why the Jew Rockefeller donated the land for the United Nations in America to be a focal point for one world government. It had nothing to do about United Nations, my ass. It's got to do with no nations. They don't want any nation states. They don't want any borders. They want the globe. They want the entire area to be their domain. So, ladies, all I'm trying to say is there is a hierarchy, and we're not following it. And the scriptures even talk about a hierarchy within the congregation. The Bible says church because that's in English, but it's the congregation. And all I was referring to is in the hierarchy, it is the men of our people who are to be the teachers. That's all I said. In fact, there's verses in the Bible that say the ladies should be silent in the congregation when we get together and bring home their questions so that their husbands could instruct them once they got home. In other words, don't disrupt the teachings that are going on. Wait till you get home and bring it up with your husband so you can discuss it and learn. Now, maybe I'm wrong, but I don't see any problem with that. I'm trying to get us back on track doing things his way. Because when we do things his way, we have success. When we do things our way, it's an abysmal failure. And that's really all I was talking about. Because anybody that knows me knows that I respect and admire the ladies. All right? You have a hell of a job to do if it's done right. The sad part is a lot of ladies don't want that job anymore. They want to be out there in the man's world. They want to be in the corporate structure. They want to be in the government. And God forbid now we're even talking about putting women in combat in our army and navy. That just shows you the level of stupidity we have reached. Nowhere in Scripture does it advocate such a thing. Nowhere in the world where people were dumb enough to do that did they keep on doing it, because they quickly reversed it and took the women back out of combat, because it's an unmitigated disaster to put women in combat roles. In fact, it's an unmitigated disaster having women in your military, period. I'm going to say it straight out. If you don't like it, that's your problem. It's an unmitigated disaster having women in the military in any way, shape, or form. All right? Unmitigated disaster. We also have the propaganda against the term racist. That's because people don't read anymore. God forbid they would actually pick up a dictionary. You know, the dictionary almost has as much dust on it as the Bible does in most people's homes. So, of course, nobody knows the real definition of racist. They only know what the Jew tells them through movies and television and ads, etc., and the blithering idiots we have as political figures today. But the actual word racist is a benign term. It simply means someone who loves and promotes his own people. That's about as benign as you can get. But leave it to the Jew to take a word that means something very positive and turn it into a negative. And especially a targeted negative, because it's only negative when it deals with white people. It's not negative when a black is racist, or an Arab is racist, or an Oriental is racist, or a Jew, who are the most racist people on the planet. That's okay. It's only a negative when it's a white person who promotes his own people. Unbelievable. Another item we need to keep in our thoughts is what we've talked about many, many times. You better get back to basics, people. Scripture says at the end of the age there'd be a great shaking in the heavens and the earth. That's talking about upheaval. Not just of the mountains and the oceans and volcanoes and earthquakes and tremors and weather stuff. It's talking about geopolitical as well. Everything would be shaken to the foundation because we're virtually doing everything wrong. We are. We are doing everything wrong. I still have an open challenge for somebody to find a portion of Scripture we're not violating. Please. In 16 years, I haven't had any group who does Bible studies together that could contact me and tell me where we're doing it right. What does that say? 16 years, nobody's found a portion of the Bible that we're doing right. As far as his commandments, statutes, and judgments, his regulations. The things that he said in Deuteronomy and Leviticus that we must do in order to stay his children and to maintain his blessing upon us. The blessings and the cursings. Deuteronomy chapter 28 and 29. We're not doing any of it. And we wonder why we're having trouble. We're not doing any of it. It's just amazing to me. And again, remember, when you hear the term Israel or Israel, it's a people, not a country. Pastor Eli alluded to the gun sales being at a record high. I've seen a lot of reports come in about that. The number of people applying for concealed carry permits is at a record high. Gun sales and ammunition sales are at record highs. So what's that tell you? It means the people are waking up. In fact, I've been blessed to meet some folks here on my trip, and some of them young people, very young people. They are not buying the BS anymore. Some of them are, okay? The media wants you to think they're all that way, but I'm going to tell you, Yahweh has given me a blessing that I've met people who are wide awake, people as young as in their late teens and early 20s. Wide awake. They're fully aware of the lies and deceptions. I was amazed. Happily amazed. And that might explain the high number of gun sales. I've even had relatives of mine who have never thought about a weapon in their homes contact me and want to know, what do I need to do? I don't feel safe anymore. You don't feel safe because of the criminals that have been turned loose on us. You don't feel safe because you've got criminals in your government now using their powers that we have granted them. However, they're abusing those powers. They are outlaws. They are criminals. They should be arrested and put in jail and put on trial. I'm praying for that day. If our military doesn't have the guts and the gumption to do it, then maybe it's the militia that should do it. Maybe it's the Ezekiel 37 army that will do it. Somehow, some way, a group of righteous warriors is going to arise at some point here in the near future. And we are going to arrest every one of these criminals. And people say, well, they're not criminals by man's law because they wrote an executive order or they wrote a piece of legislation. Well, let me tell you something. Those words put on paper by men mean nothing. If it's in violation of God's law, just as William Blackstone said so eloquently a long time ago, any law created by any body of men that runs counter to God's law is no law and has no effect. Amen, brother. So to the true believer, you can put the pen to paper, you can print out 1,500-page laws in Washington all you want. But when you run counter to my Heavenly Father's law, Your law has no power whatsoever. The only thing that document does is identify you as a criminal. Hallelujah, you're identifying yourselves for us, making our jobs easy. Thank you. All of you cowards and quislings in Washington, D.C., and in many state capitals, you liars, you misfits, you traitors, thank you for making the job so much easier for us. You've come out in public in speeches denouncing the Second Amendment and our right to defend ourselves. You've talked about unlimited immigration into our lands. You have identified yourself as criminals. You have identified yourselves as traitors. Yahweh, our Heavenly Father, please wake up that valley of dead and dry bones, which is a biblical way of saying spiritually dead people. That's your average white person today. Spiritually dead, a walking zombie. Not having a clue where he is, where he's going, where his people have been from, what his heritage is. He's just going through the motions, playing his video games, watching his dumbass Hollywood movies, listening to the rejects on television. He is just a clueless rock. That's what a zombie is. Brain dead. Spiritually vacant. Ezekiel tells us, though, that Yahweh will pour out his spirit at a particular time, and that valley of dead and dry, spiritually wasted zombies is going to wake up and become a vast and mighty Gideon army. Hallelujah. We should all be praying for that, because when that army takes to the field, none of these quacks and charlatans, none of these traitors, none of these Jews will be able to buy their way out of it. Because when that army comes for them, they don't care about titles. They don't care about gold and silver. They care about righteousness. What is the right thing to do? Because when you stand in front of the Father, folks, in the end, that's all that matters. He doesn't care how big your bank account is. He doesn't care how many square feet are in your home. He doesn't care about what title you have down at the office. Those things matter not to him at all. What matters is what's in your heart. What matters is what's your character, your integrity. You people in government better be paying attention, especially you guys in uniform who carry weapons. You better be paying real close attention. Those people calling the shots in the Pentagon and in Washington and in your police headquarters and at the local barracks, they may think they're in charge. They may have you, Buffalo, to think that they have a right to tell you anything to do, but that's not the truth of the matter. And a lot of you know exactly what I'm talking about. You've got that little voice nagging in your head and you're not quite sure where it came from. That little voice that's telling you what you're doing is wrong. That little voice that says you're being lied to. You're being deceived. You're being used. And that little voice that says one day you will pay for the crimes that you're committing. Because just because some Jew in the Pentagon or some Jew in Washington tells you it's okay to murder innocent people, because that's what they do, they don't have a hereafter. They are condemned already, as Christ said. So now they're trying to get you to give up your life in the hereafter. They can't get in, so they want to take you down with them. Don't let them do that. What happens when we leave this place is far more important than anything that happens here. Please don't think that we evolved. That's the most ludicrous theory ever concocted. We evolved when the laws of thermodynamics say the opposite? We evolved to hear, please, people, or that we're spinning around in a ball in a vast, endless, vast vacuum, like some little lost speck of dust on this planet? You actually believe that? I don't believe it, not for a second. I think a lot of people are beginning to understand. Praise Yahweh for that. Now, to back up some of the things that we've been talking about, I want to read to you some verses here. We're going to go to Matthew chapter 7, starting at verse 24. Everyone, therefore, who hears these words of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on a rock. The rain came down, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. Do you get the wisdom of that, folks? I sure hope you do. Like he says right here, if you hear the words of mine, well, who's saying this in Matthew chapter 7? The words of Christ himself, who is Yahweh. There is only one God, folks. You can't have it. You can't have this Trinity thing that you talk about. It's one entity. The Ten Commandments make it very clear, and so does other scripture. He's a jealous God. I am the one and the only one. But he came down and put upon flesh that he could fulfill his law. That's the only way he could do that. Do not mistake it, please. So when he says my words, he's talking about all of his words, not just the New Testament. So you Judeo-Christians, you got your heads up your rectums and you need to pull them out of there. I can't believe you think that 3/4 of the Bible is to be done away with and not studied. How ludicrous, how silly. How could you believe any preacher that would tell you such a thing? So there's a blessing if you build your house on the rock. Who's the only person that's ever referred to as the rock? Our King, Yahweh himself. Praise Yahweh. Then we're going to skip over to Matthew 24. As the days of Noah were, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in those days which were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ship or the ark, and they did not know until the flood came and took them all away, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. What's it saying here, folks? Before the punishment, which is what the flood was for disobedience and lawlessness, this time it says by fire. That could be symbolic. It doesn't have to be literal, but it will be that it will be very intense. The flood was basically humane compared to a judgment of fire. So before this punishment came by, they were doing the normal things, eating, drinking, marrying, giving in marriage, blah, 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 day to day, watching their soap operas, going to the tennis court, meeting down at the boardroom, chasing after their secretaries, you name it. Until the day Noah entered into the ship. Until the day the Israelites entered into their arks, their sanctuaries. And when that happens, it's too late for the rest of you. I hope you understand that. A lot of people playing this game that, well, I'll come around, but when it's my time. When I want to. I'm going to play hard and do what I want to do, and then at the last minute, I'm going to repent. Well, that's a gamble, folks. That's a gamble. Skipping over to Revelation chapter 12. A great sign was seen in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and on her head a crown of 12 stars. She was with child. She cried out in pain, laboring to give birth. Another sign was seen in heaven. Behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and on his head 7 crowns. His tail drew 1/3 of the stars of the sky and threw them to the earth. The dragon stood before the woman who was about to give birth, so that when she gave birth, he might devour her child. She gave birth to a son, a male child, who is to rule all the nations with a rod of iron. Hang on to that verse, folks. She gave birth to a son, Yeshua HaMashiach, a male child who is to rule all nations, meaning all peoples, with a rod of iron. That means no leeway, no tolerance. Her child was caught up to Yahweh and to his throne. The woman, which represents Jacob Israel, fled into the wilderness, where she has a place prepared by Yahweh, that there they may nourish her 1,260 days. The woman fled into the wilderness. There was war in the sky. Michael and his angels made war on the dragon. The dragon and his angels made war. They did not prevail. Neither was a place found for him any more in heaven. The great dragon was thrown down, the old serpent, he who is called the devil and Satan, the deceiver of the whole world. He was thrown down to the earth, and his angels were thrown down with him. Ooh, not alone. I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, "Now the salvation, the power, and the kingdom of our God, and the authority of his anointed one, Christ, has come. For the accuser of our brothers has been thrown down, who accuses them before our God day and night. They overcame him because of the blood of the Lamb and because of the word of their testimony. They did not love their life even unto death. Therefore rejoice, heavens, and you who dwell in them. Woe to the earth and to the sea, because the devil has gone down to you, having great wrath, knowing that he has but a short time." When the dragon saw that he was thrown down to the earth, he persecuted the woman who gave birth to the male child. Again, the woman being Jacob Israel. 2 wings of the great eagle were given to the woman, that she might fly into the wilderness, to her place, so that she might be nourished for a time and times and half a time, from the face of the serpent. The serpent spewed water out of his mouth after the woman like a river, that he might cause her to be carried away by the stream. That verse 15 is where you need to be focused right now, because that water spewed out of the mouth of our adversary, who is the Jew, by the way, the adversary of all mankind, spews out the water by his edicts, by the usurpation of our governments. Our rightful governments are now flooded with these people, and they use their power and influence and the ability to blackmail, threaten, and even assassinate to get our cowards and quislings in our parliaments and our congresses to do their bidding. They have allowed the floodgates to open, and now there is a flood like a river being carried to the woman in such a way as she might be carried away by the stream or the force of this invasion. They call it immigration. Now, because people are getting hyped to this immigration problem, they've changed horses. They now call it asylum for refugees. Do you see how they play the game? Because now people are starting to cry out about immigration and what it's causing, they've changed it now. They want to They want to try to pull on your heartstrings now. These are asylum seekers. They're not just flooding into your country. You're opening your arms to allow these people in, even though most of them are military-aged young men who, when they get here, proceed to vandalize, commit crime, and commit rape. But that's okay, right? Because the Jew says so. The earth helped the woman, and the earth opened its mouth and swallowed up the river which the dragon spewed out of his mouth. Good news around the on the horizon, isn't there, folks? Is there an awakening going on right now? Everything I'm reading says so. Let's see, in Germany, nationalism is on the rise, and the anti-immigration and asylum seeker movement is in full swing. Seems like it's happening in Sweden. I believe I read something here at Denmark is concerned. The Irish and the English are sort of waking up here. So I would say that this passage is about ready to be fulfilled, wouldn't you? We don't know exactly how the earth helps the woman, but this is symbolic. Opened its mouth and swallowed up the river. So whatever is going to happen, it's going to take out these invaders quickly and in large numbers. I would say the uprising is right around the corner. The dragon grew angry with the woman. Well, that's our Antichrist communist Khazar Jews are angry with Israel, the people, Jacob, that's us, the white men and women, and went away to make war with the rest of her offspring. So there's a group of us, a group of our nations, who are going to rise up and throw out these invaders. And the angry dragon is going to go off to make war with the rest of her offspring in your English, but it's the word that means seed, literally seed of the woman, meaning racial, of course, who keep Yahweh's commandments and hold Yahshua's testimony. So there's a group of our people, believers, that are going to make war with this dragon and defeat that flood is being sent after him. They're going to subdue it. They're going to swallow it up, so to speak, and get rid of it. And this is going to anger the Jews, the dragon, the deceivers, the Nakash in the Hebrew language, the serpent people. So they'll make war with a remnant of the white nations that the floods are not affecting. So be careful, you other nations that aren't being invaded right now, because eventually we're going to throw them the hell out. But then the dragon will set his sights on you. We know the ultimate end of the dragon, don't we? And we know that at some point our people are going to walk by and they're going to go, this pathetic people known as Jews, these hypocrites, these paranoid, mentally retarded, mentally ill people deceived the whole world. These perverts, pedophiles, homosexuals, and deviants, how did they do that? Well, when you control the media, when you control the printing press of money, you can buy the weak and those of base character. But there is a righteous remnant they can't get to. That really annoys them. The good news is that righteous remnant not only survives, but the rest, or the remnant of the white Israelites, are going to come to their senses. And when they do, the righteous indignation that will burn within them will not be satisfied until they are gone. Because these people, along with the other races, when they realize what these demonic, lying misfits have done to not only the white nations, but all nations, because of their demonic lust for power and money and domination over people. They're power drunk. They identify themselves for us. Hallelujah. Now, here's a good way that they do identify us. I sent out an article that was sent to me, and it talks about the drone pilots that have become whistleblowers, and it gives the names of the four people involved. So what does our Jewish-run government do? They freeze their bank accounts and credit cards. Not by court order. No, they don't do anything by court order anymore because they're Jews. They don't need that. They have risen to the peak of power. They don't need to be hampered by things like the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, even their own rules and regulations. And now they can do things like their own slaves, military people, U.S. Air Force, military people, their own slaves. But they turned against them. And, oh, my God, you've just brought the wrath of Satan down on your heads, you poor folks. How dare you expose the Jew? So what do? They're not going to wait around for some court because there may be some honest white people in that jury. And they'll find them innocent. So we can't wait around for that because, after all, we are the world leaders. We are the masters of the world. So as Jews, we're just going to go in there and have our buddies freeze their bank accounts and credit cards because we're going to punish them. But like all acts of treason, aggression, and ungodliness, it will further identify them as who they are. I sent it to a lady named Linda who lives in Canada, and she wrote back a very lovely prayer that she said for these folks in the U.S. Air Force that are being ostracized for their bravery and their commitment to do the right thing. So I'm going to read her prayer because I think it's something of an example for us to follow. As we read this, and she's praying for these four military people who had the guts to take a stand, this same basic prayer could be said for the condition of all the white races, the white nations of this world. Our people are under persecution, invasion. They have been lied to. They have been cheated. They have been stolen from. They've been set up for rape and murder and mayhem by these hideous Khazar Zionist communist dogs. So this is what Linda says in her prayer. Our Father, in Jesus' name, I ask you to erect hedges around Michael Haas, Brandon Bryant, Sean Westmoreland, and Stephen Lewis to preserve, protect, and provide for theirs and their families' every need against the wicked who seek their destruction. In Yeshua's name, I frustrate the plans of the wicked and demand that their evil plots against these men be overturned and brought down upon their own heads. And Father, I also pray in Yeshua's name that by your Spirit you will convict and strengthen many more souls who have been unwittingly serving the synagogue of Satan through shedding of innocent blood to come out of that satanic pit of death and destruction, to stand with these whistleblowers and the others who have honored the truth and their own integrity. Please grant your people all success in overturning all the plots and conspiracies of the wicked to frustrate this satanic rebellion against your Christ, and that we hold down the fort until the captain of the Lord's host sets his feet down on his footstool. May Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach, indeed find faith in the earth when he gets here. Amen. She also ends her prayer here with a little saying in German, and since I'm part German, I've always thought it was kind of cool. And again, I'm not prolific or proficient in German, so I'm going to attempt to pronounce it the way I understand it to be pronounced. So if I get it wrong, forgive me. Besides that, I've talked to Germans over there, and depending on what part of Germany you are, you have a different way of saying things, just like we do here in America. So I'm going to give it a shot here, but here we go. Einsam sind die Gerechten, doch mit ihnen ist gut. Lonely are the just, but with them is God. That's a pretty darn good saying. Lonely are the just, but with them is God. Folks, doing the right thing isn't always going to get you a lot of money. Doing the right thing may not get you a lot of friends. In fact, you may lose family and friends by standing for the truth. But at some point, you got to make up your mind as to whether you believe the truth, which is our Heavenly Father, is worth whatever sacrifice is required of you, up to and including your life. That's how serious it is. That's how serious it is. With that kind of commitment, our Heavenly Father can use you for great works. But without that kind of commitment, it can't be done. The media outlets and the propagandists want you to think that this world is falling apart and the only thing to save us is the governments. That's what they want you to believe. The fact is that it's the governments that are creating these problems. They have no intention of solving them. They created them to bring about the very situation we have right now. Is despair, chaos, disorder, rape, murder, mayhem. They want that. They have talked about it in their public speaking and in their private letters and writings. It's exactly what they want. The solution is not to succumb to the propaganda. Stay focused on the Father. Stay focused on what is true. Stay networked with like-minded people. We shall prevail. It is the weak-minded who fall for their lies and deceptions. They are the ones being led to the slaughter. Stand fast. And as Pastor Eli said, never, ever surrender your firearms. Never, ever surrender your means to defend yourself, your property, and your family. Never, ever do that. If you do, you've just aided and abetted the enemy of your people, your family, your country, and all mankind. You've basically said, come on in, Antichrists, and have your way with us. Don't pay attention to anything coming across the YouTube. Don't pay attention to any of the propaganda. Just understand, if they could have done this, if they had the power that they're trying to make you believe they have, it'd be a done deal, folks. It would have already happened. Ergo, the need for the propaganda and the war on your mind, because they don't have that power. They can't pull it off. Not unless you step aside and let them. It's our job to resist evil, as it says in Proverbs. Resist evil with all of your heart, all of your mind, all of your soul, all of your body. Resist evil. Hate the enemies of Yahweh with a perfect hatred. People say, well, that sounds like a very hateful person or a racist, whatever. And as Pastor Eli says, those that know us and listen to the words we speak know that we don't harbor any ill will to anybody. If you're being a just person and living according to God's law, you have nothing to fear from any of us. But if you're in the camp of Satan's kids, yeah, you really do need to fear us. You see, folks, when the propagandists put crap out over the television and the radio and all that, when they talk about terrorists, that's what they're talking about. Anybody who stands in the way of the Jews accomplishing their Jew world order. You are a terror to them. Anybody that exposes their lies and deception and murder and rape and sexual slavery. If you expose them, you are a terror to them. And so they're correct. So the next time some Jew from the Pentagon or some Jew from the White House stands up and talks about these internal threats and what Homeland Security is all about, that's who they're talking about. The Bible-believing, gun-carrying, loving, caring, sharing Israelite people, because we have always been at odds with Satan's kids. So just understand, when they say that, that's what they're talking about. Yeah, we should be a terror to such people. I've said that all my life. If you're a murderer, yeah, you should expect me to try to do you in. If you're a rapist, yeah, I'm going to put a rope around your neck and I'm going to hang you. If you're a kidnapper, yeah, we're going to put you in front of a firing squad. If you're a traitor, we'll probably take you out and put a rock around your legs and throw you over a boat into the ocean. Yeah, because that's what our Heavenly Father says to do with people like you. It's not complicated, folks. This world is in an upheaval because the good people have been frozen in their tracks. Because the Jews control both the pro and the con side of every topic, you exhibit the Pavlovian response. Remember that experiment with Pavlov's dogs, where he turned the light on and he petted the dog? So that was a good response. And then in the dark, he blew the whistle and beat the dog. Well, everybody's heard that part, but they didn't hear the third part. What happens when the light was turned on and the whistle was blown? Guess what? The poor dog stood there like a statue because it didn't know which way to go. When both responses, when both stimuli are given at the same time, the response is to be frozen in your tracks. And that's exactly what the Jew wants, Whitey. He wants you frozen in your tracks. He's got mouthpieces out there promoting the conservative side and telling you to let the government and the system take care of everything. And then he's got the other talking heads on the communist side. He controls the good. He controls the negative. And when he hits you from both sides at the same time, you are basically immobilized. You are not fit for anything. You are the salt that has lost its savor. And what did Christ say about salt that loses its savor? What's it good for? Nothing. And unfortunately, that's about what the white race has been eliminated to. Pavlovian dogs that are just sitting there salivating and panting because they're not sure what they should do. They're receiving stimuli from both the left and the right. So they go, well, I guess I'll just go ahead and drink my beer and play my games and I'll just not do anything. Which is exactly what your enemy wants you to do. Be a Pavlovian dog and just sit there and wait for your master to tell you what he's going to allow you to do or not do. That's why they fear this message. This message teaches you to think on your own. This message teaches you to investigate. Use that brain that the Father gave you. You're not supposed to take what the media says at face value, ever. You're not supposed to take anything that a government official says at face value, ever. They're liars. Notorious liars. And just as this article talking about these four Air Force individuals who are now being punished for being whistleblowers. It shows exactly what we're talking about. They didn't go through the process the correct way. Just like Michael New, many years ago, when Michael New refused to put on the UN beret and insignia on his U.S. Army uniform while stationed in Germany. He refused because he said, I did not sign up to serve under a UN general. And out of his whole battalion, he was the only soldier that was dressed according to the U.S. code. The Army manual for proper uniform. He was the only one in proper uniform. Every other single person in that battalion came out with the powder blue hat, the powder blue patches on the uniform, swearing allegiance and to follow a damnable United Nations general. Michael New, alone, like David, stood against Goliath. And they rained hell down on that poor man. He's still alive and kicking, though. He's been blessed to have met many, many patriotic people over the years, and his father, Daniel, is one hell of a man and one hell of a speaker. I was privileged to meet him at an expo. But that goes to show you the level of commitment Daniel knew secured his place in heaven. He secured his place with our Father because of his integrity. He is exactly what General Stonewall Jackson was talking about. Duty first. Consequences belong to the Father. Duty first. Duty. Duty to do the right thing. Not go along because you're afraid of the consequences. Not going along because you're afraid you might lose your job. Not going along because you're afraid to be called a name. But doing the right thing because simply it's the right thing to do. That sets in motion a wave. You see, they took away Daniel's rank. They persecuted him and his family as best they could. But by their very actions, they identified who they are. So by his taking that stand, if he had decided that day to join the rest of that battalion and put on the stinking United Nations insignia, there would have been no outcry. There would have been no awareness. But one man, just like David when he stood against Goliath, one man can make a huge difference, can't he? And now there are plenty of Davids starting to stand up. These four Air Force individuals, drone pilots, they're Davids. The German journalist who has come out and admitted that the intelligence agencies of the United States and England and Israel, etc., basically dictate what will be put in their articles, what will and will not be addressed in the article. They will edit it all by design. But he stood up and has denounced what's going on. Ken O'Keefe, the United States Marine, who is now denouncing the Israelis and what they're all about. Rebecca Roth, which is not her real name. The flight attendant that has very succinctly and absolutely, unquestionably smashed the whole 9/11 scenario. Completely obliterates it. And many others. So don't think that you can't make a difference. One person can make all the difference in the world. And the greatest example of that is in your Bible. That man's name was Yeshua HaMashiach. In the Greek, they called him Jesus Christos. And in your English Bibles, it says Jesus the Christ. One man who would not back down, though the Jews did everything they could. And in the end, They took away his life. They tortured him and they murdered him. They brag about the shedding of that man's blood. That just shows you what despicable people they are. But did they win the war? No. And they will pay a price for that treason and that murder. And that day is not far away. That's why their wrath is great. Their time is almost over. We all should be praying prayers like Linda, for unity amongst our people and for an awakening. Knowing who we are, knowing who the enemy is, identifying the players in the game. That's what this message is all about. If you don't have the truth, if you don't know who's who, then you're lost. Completely lost. Scripture says that if Yahweh be for you, who can stand against you? Folks, that's a promise. Don't you understand? It's a promise. It's not a suggestion. It's not a maybe. It's a promise. You men and women want to know what the best thing you can do in a world that's turned upside down the way it is right now? Righteousness is your answer. Faith, righteousness, and obedience to his law. It's as simple as that. It's as simple as that. I watch all these news events, and I still sleep like a baby. I'm not worried one bit what the Antichrist is doing. They're liars and they're misfits. Every one of these staged events, everything coming across the tube is a lie and a misrepresentation. And praise Yahweh, it's affecting fewer and fewer people. That's why it didn't work out quite the way they thought after the last staged event. People went out and bought guns and applied for permits in record numbers. How about that? They know what these clowns are up to. They're not going to buy it. The flood has been unleashed on us because of evil intent upon the white nations of the world. But now, the Israelites are starting to wake up even more. And even more importantly, they're deciding to do something about it. That really makes the dragon upset. Satan and his kids don't mind you writing articles. They don't even mind people like me talking on the radio so much, as long as you don't do anything. It's when the Israelites start doing things, they get worried. As well they should. Dear Heavenly Father Yahweh, we do ask a blessing and protection for the four individuals who had enough guts to take a stand, and for all the other people who are taking a stand in whatever career field they may be in. If somebody has enough integrity to do that, Father, we ask a blessing upon them. The Holy Spirit visit upon them and let them know that they are right, and a hedge of angels around them to protect them from these demons that walk amongst us. We also pray for the continued awakening, but even more so, we pray for the action, the Ezekiel 37 army, when the army of righteous men take up arms against these people, when they're ready to cast them into the pit where they belong. May it be soon, Father Yahweh. This poor world has seen enough misery, enough pollution, enough war, enough sexual slavery, enough sexual deviation, pedophilia, and all the rest. She labors and she moans from all the pollution of our air, water, and soils, the lies and deceptions put out by these creatures. Father Yahweh, you made this world, and you protected it. It is an enclosed world, and I don't really care who believes that or not. The Bible says so, and I believe it. That's the end of it. This enclosed earth is a protected area that you put us here in for a purpose. And we're not to question that. It's your plan. It's your design. We are your creatures. We ask now, Father, that you put an end to this. You are the commander in chief. Give the order, Father. May it be quickly. And may you take that throne as our monarch in the very near future. Forgive us our sins, Father, and our shortcomings. Guide us by thy Holy Spirit and protect us from our enemies. We ask this in the name of our Heavenly Father, Yahweh. Hallelujah.
Did you think your plans were secret when you left your office last night and you closed the door behind you? Were you walking in your sleep or were you just too tired to notice all the watchful eyes upon you? There's the man who does the maintenance and the maid who cleans the carpets in the hall. And the guard down in the lobby through a hidden TV camera saw it all. Silent weapon and your modus operandi. This little birdie told me who was talking to a fly upon the wall. So when you think nobody's looking, I'm the eye that passes by you. When you think nobody's listening, I'm the listener. I'm the resistor.
Sign the
sister.
The tide is rising.